Let's stand, if you would, tonight as we read the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Did I preach on that this morning? Well, good. Well, you told me I had till such and such a time. I'm like, well, that's only half my message. I'll just preach the other half tonight. So I'm going in a different direction tonight. But sometimes you could preach the same one and people wouldn't know. You're like, have I preached this before? We don't know. We don't know. Do you remember? No, I don't remember that. Well, I'll preach it again. It's good. If I preach it the second time, it'll be good. And so I'll be going a little bit different direction tonight. Hopefully be a blessing, Lord, to use it. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, therefore, we ought to give them earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing the witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you bless your word. I pray that you fill me with your spirit and anoint me with your power, Lord. That you take the word of God deep into our hearts, that you challenge us and change us tonight. Lord, that you be glorified in all that's done. Lord, we're here for you. We want to worship you tonight. We want to glorify you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just anoint the service. Bless us, Lord. Strengthen us. Be with those who are listening online. And I pray, Father, that you would change hearts and lives tonight for your glory and your honor, that you be magnified. We ask all these things. And Lord, I do plead with you tonight to fill me with your spirit. Use me, I pray. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much for standing. I preached this morning on the danger. How should we escape if we neglect really to receive this so great salvation? And I believe I could preach for weeks on our great salvation and never exhaust the topic. I heard of one young man. He went to preach for D.L. Moody and he preached on John 3:16 and he preached for 3 weeks on John 3:16, and he said he got up one night. He says, you know, I was just pleading with the Lord to give me another text, he says, but I can't get away from it. And he preached on John 3:16. I can't remember if I read that D.L. Moody never preached on just on John 3:16, but this young man, the Lord had got a hold of his heart on John 3:16. He just couldn't get away from it. If we took our great salvation and we preached on our great salvation for weeks, we'd never exhaust how great a salvation that we have. And so I'd like to spend some time tonight looking again at our great salvation, but from another aspect. And I'd like to ask this question tonight because we look at the idea of escaping and what is there to escape. And we say, what is there to escape? And we say, well, hell. We want to escape hell. But I don't really believe that is the primary interpretation of this passage, because he's preaching, he's speaking to saved people. And so he says, how shall we escape if we neglect our great salvation? And let me give you a thought this morning. We came back for our last furlough, and when we come back, we have to buy some things. One of the things we have to get is a car. And so my sister, her sister and brother-in-law gave us a vehicle. It wasn't a new vehicle, but it was a nice vehicle. They just gave it to us, and that was such a blessing. It was a very nice vehicle, had a lot of bells and whistles on, a lot of nice things. When we got that car, though, there were things that we had to do to that car to get it up and running. We put some new tires on it. The air conditioning wasn't working, which up in Michigan, not a big deal. But when you're traveling down south and out west, it's very good. We love air conditioning. In fact, for the longest time in Brazil, the only place we had air conditioning was in our car. And so we would just get in the car and drive around, you know, just to get away from the heat. It's so hot. But we had to get some things fixed on that car. But if we had not done anything to that car, if we had neglected that car would eventually stop running, okay? And what I want to say to you this evening is this: when it comes to our salvation, we're never going to lose our salvation. We cannot lose our salvation. We'll look at that a little bit tonight. If you could lose your salvation, it really wouldn't be that great. Just like if salvation's not for everybody, it's just not that great. But salvation is for everybody, and our salvation tonight, you get saved. There's nothing else you have to do to go to heaven. But I want to say this tonight. If all you do is get saved, You really missed it. There's a lot of things that you're not going to enjoy about your Christian life if you just get saved and that's it. If you just get saved and don't go to church, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, there's a lot in your Christian life that you're going to miss out on. Look what he says in Hebrews chapter number four. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his... Microphone's not on? Okay. If you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached, notice, did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So the word was preached, but it didn't do them any good because they didn't mix what they heard with faith. Now we say this, you know, God's word shall not return unto him void. That's what the scripture says. But here it says that the word preached to them didn't do them any good. It didn't profit them. And so it's up to us on whether the word of God is going to do us any good or not. In chapter 3, if you go back to chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. So here's the thought. And I said, if we go through Hebrews, the idea of hearing is so important. If I come to church and I hear the word of God preached, but I don't do what he says, I don't respond to that in faith, and respond in obedience, and my heart becomes hardened to the Word of God, and I don't grow. And I want you to turn, if you would, over to, we're very close there, over to 2 Peter. Over to 2 Peter, chapter number 1. What is there to escape? If that verse isn't talking about hell, then what is it that we are going to escape? Look in 1 Peter, or 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse number 4. Got to get over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number... We'll start in verse number 3. According as divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So these are people who are saved. They've been born again. But notice the warning, and this is a stark warning. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 9. He says, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. In our churches, many times, we have somebody, they'll come and they'll make a profession, they'll get baptized, they'll come for a little while, and then they'll drop out of church, and we'll find them later, and they're living just a wicked life, and we say this, we say, well, they must not have been saved, they must not have gotten it. And that could very well be the case. But can I say this? You can get to a point in your life as a child of God when you're miserable, and the Bible says here, so far gone that you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. And so when he says in chapter 2 of Hebrews, he says, how shall we escape? I think there's things as Christians that we can go into, that we can enter into, that are worth escaping. Because sometimes we think this, if I don't grow as a Christian, it's not that big of a deal. I can go through my Christian life and I can just float through and not grow. But can I say this? Not growing is a very dangerous place to be.
Because you know people and I know people that have gotten so far out, we say there's no way they can be saved. But isn't that what this verse is saying? That they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins because they had failed to grow in their Christian life. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Let me turn over to chapter 5. Let's go to chapter 5 of Hebrews. He says in verse 11, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing." Now, why were they dull of hearing? Because in chapter 3 it says, "If you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." They'd hardened their hearts, and therefore they were dull of hearing. And dull of hearing is that you can't hear what God's saying to you. You're not listening to what He's saying. And Paul's saying here, he says, you've become dull of hearing in your Christian life. And he says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." See, I believe these Hebrew Christians had suffered something that it's not where we would say worse than being lost, no. But they had suffered something in their Christian lives where they had failed to grow. And we look at the language of Hebrews and we think it's very... language that's it's got to be talking about not being saved. But I don't believe it is. I think there's a danger that as Christians, that there's something for us to avoid and there's something for us to escape. And I believe that is not maturing as a child of God. If we go over to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The call to remembrance of former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." These people were going through some trials and tribulations. They were going through some problems. And they were ready to turn back from serving God, from living for God, because when God gave them opportunity to grow, they failed to grow. When God gave them some things to help them in their life, they had failed to take advantage of those things and to receive those things. Because God works in our lives during the, if you will, when it's not stormy. And God gives us things in the good times. And if we take advantage of those things in the good times, then when the storms do come, we're prepared for those storms. But what happens is, we look back and we say, things are good, and maybe I'm not reading my Bible. Maybe I'm not praying. Maybe I'm not spending time with God. And then one day, the trial comes, and it hits us hard. And we're not ready for it. Turn, if you would, over to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7, the story of the two men Jesus told in Matthew chapter 7. Verse number, chapter 7, verse number 24, he says, "Therefore, whoso heareth these sayings of mine," what does he say? "And doeth them." Now notice again, Hebrews, "Take heed how ye hear." Take heed how you hear. He says, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. He says in chapter 5, he says, you have become dull of hearing. And here Jesus says, he that heareth my sayings and doeth them. He says, I will liken him unto a wise man which has built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What was that rock? Now, we're quick to say that rock is Jesus. But in the context of the passage, the rock is obedience. He that heareth my word and doeth them and obeyeth them. That obeying is that rock where we're living for God, and God speaks to us, we obey Him. He speaks to us, and we obey Him. And that's that rock, that foundation, that when the storm comes, because we've laid that foundation of our life of responding to the Word of God. That when the storm comes, we're able to stand. Because there is a cost in our life for not listening to the Word of God. He says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The man that heard the sayings but did not obey is a man who built his house upon the sand. What is the sand? The sand is that life of really not listening to the Word of God, not listening to what God has for us. And this is so, to me, it's so simple, so beautiful, that the Christian life basically comes down to this. It basically comes down to listening to what God has for us. Just listening to His voice. Turn, if you would, to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It's interesting, Galatians, Hebrews, and Romans deal kind of at a different angle with the Christian life. In Galatians chapter 5, very practical, verse 1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Talks about the liberty that we have in Christ. And today you hear a lot about liberty, but it's not really Christian liberty. It's not the liberty to live for God, not the liberty from sin, not the liberty of bondage from this world. Today when they talk about liberty, they're talking about liberty to live in the world. They're talking liberty, you can listen to whatever you want, you can go wherever you want, you can do whatever you want, because you're free. That's not liberty, friends. Because when we do whatever we want, you know who we're obeying? Our flesh. Look what he says in chapter 5, verse 16. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because you can either walk after the flesh, or you can walk after the Spirit. But you're not free when you walk after the flesh. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 8, it says, they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Had a young man, he was in our youth group. And he said, oh, I don't like church music. I don't like the hymns. It's like a funeral dirge. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. You know who likes spiritual music? Spiritual people. You know who likes carnal music? Carnal people. Because it appeals to the flesh. To be spiritually minded is life and peace, but to be carnally minded, the Bible says, is death. So what he said was ironic, because he said that music, the church music, the spiritual music, to him was a funeral dirge, when in reality, the church music is spiritual music, and that's life and peace. Whereas the carnal music, the worldly music, is death, because it's carnal. I had a friend of mine, before he got saved, he used to work in a club. And he told me, he said he could take and whatever, if there was a woman in the club that he wanted to get close to, he said he could play, he knew exactly what kind of music to play so that he could go over there and get close to her. Because he understood that the music of this world affects our flesh and affects how we feel. And honestly, most of the world's music is just depressing. It's just depressing. And I used to have teenagers, say, there's nothing wrong with that music. I was like, well, it's not good for you. What do you mean it's not good for me? There's nothing wrong with that music. I said, it gives you a bad attitude. No, it doesn't. Yeah. They said, no, there's nothing wrong with that music. Because they don't understand that when you say, I like that music. I understand that. My flesh likes bad music too. My flesh likes rock music. My flesh likes rap music. My flesh likes country music. Because my flesh, in Romans chapter 7, he says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But the Holy Spirit, he says, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. The Christian life is not a complicated life because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us in our life. And if we want to live a victorious Christian life, it simply comes down to walking in the Spirit, walking after the Spirit. He says in verse number 13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So in Hebrew, he's talking about listening. He says, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In Galatians, he's talking about walking in the Spirit and listening to the Spirit. Look what he says in Galatians chapter 3. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now I'm going to say something right now that will seem strange to you. We are not made perfect in our Christian life by keeping the law or keeping a set of rules. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, you keep the rules in the flesh. You keep the law in the flesh. Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. It was weak through the flesh. Our flesh cannot please God. And I'm talking about saved people tonight. I'm talking about saved flesh cannot please God because your flesh isn't saved. My flesh isn't saved. My flesh is just as wicked as it was before I got saved. I've got the same flesh. Flesh and blood should not inherit the kingdom of God. So how am I going to please God in the Spirit? When I walk in the Spirit, I please God. So someone would say, so we don't need standards? We don't need rules? Yes, we do. You know why? Because I don't always walk in the Spirit. So when I'm not walking in the Spirit, I need those rules to protect me. But when I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm not worried about a law. One preacher said this. He says, one of his guys came and told him he was on probation. He worked with people that he worked on probation. He says, oh, preacher, I'm on probation. He said, well, put me on probation. He says, you put me on probation. He says, I'm not going to go out there and do this and do that and the other. You put me on probation, I'm fine. Because my flesh is going to get me into trouble, but the Holy Spirit of God is going to lead me to walk with God. The Christian life, part of our great salvation that we have is that we have been given the Holy Spirit of God to live within us. And if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because every one of us have lust that want to destroy our lives. Now, everyone may have a stronger lust than another. Some of us have a lust to envy, to jealousy, to any type of bad thing. We have lusts that want to do those things. But he says we walk in the Spirit. He said we will not obey the lust of the flesh. He said, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect in the flesh? Our kids, I've asked for prayer this morning for our kids because I fear too many times our kids are just doing what we're telling them to do. You say, well, they need to do what we tell them to do. That's true. But if your kids are only doing right because you tell them to, that's not good. See, I need my son and my daughter to do right because they love God, want to serve God, because they're walking after the Holy Spirit. Because if they aren't, if God's not working in their lives, then I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble because I'm not going to be with them when they graduate and go out on their own. I'm not going to be there to make sure they do right. I need God working in their lives. I need God dealing with them. I told Joshua and Rebecca, when they get to a certain age, it's not going to be about what daddy wants anymore. It's going to be maybe about what their friends want, maybe what the older kids want. I said, they're going to have a choice. They're either going to please others or they're going to please God. They're either going to walk after the flesh or they're going to walk after the Spirit. Because for each of us, it's our own walk with God. And us listening to God, that's going to make a difference in our life. See, the Hebrew Christians, when they got to chapter 5, he says, you have need that one teach you again. Why? Because they were dull of hearing. There'd come a point in their life where they stopped listening to God. Now, they still had all the outward showings of it. They would still come to church and they would still do all those things. But somewhere along the line, they had stopped growing in their Christian life and had stopped walking with God. If we're going in our Christian life to be what God wants us to be, it's not hard. We simply have to listen to God. He said, if you'll walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I fear too many Christians are going through the motions and we're trying to keep the rules in our flesh, in our own power. And we're never going to please God when we do that. Turn, if you would, back over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. And with the few minutes we have left here tonight, I want to... Our great salvation, it's a great salvation because of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us, that wants to speak to us. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Look what He says in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. He says, for verily, He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. Look at chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a great salvation because we have a great high priest. A great high priest that suffered for us, who was tempted in all points like as we are, without sin, who understands what we pass through. See, Jesus Christ, if He'd stayed in heaven, if He'd never come down, if He'd never experienced those things, He would not understand what we pass through. We have a high priest who can understand the trials that we're going through. And our great high priest says that we can come boldly under the throne of grace anytime, day or night. The Bible says He ever liveth to make intercession for us, that our high priest is making intercession for us right now. The Holy Spirit of God maketh intercession for us. our great high priest maketh intercession for us right now. As missionaries on the field, we get lonely. We get feel separated. Like, does anybody know we're here? And we don't do it for the recognition. I understand that, but you kind of feel alone. You feel separated. You're there, you know, kind of all by yourself, and you wonder, is anybody even thinking about me? Does anybody even care? But Jesus cares. And He prays for me, and He prays for you. And we have people in our churches that pray for us on a regular basis, and we're very thankful for that. But you know, the truth is, we don't know who's praying for us. Because very rarely does anybody send us a note saying, an email saying, hey, I'm praying for you. Hey, we're praying for you guys. You know, you don't know who's praying for you. But we know Jesus is praying for us. And the Bible says we can come boldly under the throne of grace in time of need. We can come right now to the throne of grace. Because we have a great high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest went in once a year, and it was just the high priest. Went into the Holy of Holies once a year to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. And if you were not part of the tribe of Levi, you couldn't even hope to go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. If you were part of the tribe of Judah or Benjamin, you looked at that and you said, oh, that one day I could go in there into the presence of God. But you never could. Only the Levites could go in, and only one family of the tribe of Levites could go in. They only had that hope. But today, every one of us can go in to the Holy of Holies. That's a great privilege tonight. But the question for us is this. As a child of God, see, He's talking about them growing, them maturing. I can go into the Holy of Holies anytime, day or night. But how often do I do that? How much time do I spend in the presence of God in the Holy of Holies? We have a great privilege because of our great high priest. But how much time do we spend there? How much time do we spend worrying about our problems when He says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? He says, be careful in nothing but by prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God with thanksgiving. Many times we have financial troubles and we think, if I just had some rich uncle, I could call him up. But our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We came back and raised money for this land, and I thought, $35,000, that's incredible to me. I could never come up with that much money. But God can. God can. There's nothing too hard for our God. Nothing too hard for Him. And we have a great high priest that invites us to come boldly into the throne of grace. One man said this. He said, many times our prayer lives are like the little kid who runs up to the house and rings the doorbell and runs away before anybody can come back to the door. The Bible says God knoweth what things we have need of. So why do we need to pray for those things? Because God wants us to spend time with Him. God created us for His pleasure. And one of the things God really enjoys is us praying. We were reading through Revelation with the kids, and in there in the book of Revelation, He talks about our tears being put in a bottle. Our tears being put in a bottle. Why does He put our tears in a bottle? Because they're special to Him. And whether it be us weeping over a lost loved one, or whether we're weeping over our hurts and our pains, God puts those tears in a bottle. We were reading through, Joshua and I were reading through one of the Psalms, thinking it was 56 where he was crying. Was it 56 where he was crying? I think so, it was 56. David was crying. Here's David, the man who killed Goliath. And he's crying. He's weeping. He says, why is he weeping? I don't know, but David was a man's man. David was not a wimp. He killed Goliath. He's not a wimp. But he's weeping. And God recorded that for us in His Word, that our tears are special to God because we have a great high priest that ever liveth to make intercession for us. You know, our great salvation, we don't have to go to a man and confess our sins. But in our great salvation, we have access, great access to the throne of thrones, the Holy of Holies. We can go anytime that we desire. We have great access into the Holy of Holies. Chapter 6, verse 10 says we have a great hope. Chapter 6, notice what he says. Chapter 6, it says, verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. That's that great hope that we have in Jesus Christ. My hope is not in myself. It's not in how good I am, but it's in my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my hope. And in a world where there is no hope, in a world where people are dying for want of hope, we have a great hope, an everlasting hope, an eternal hope. And I love the imagery. He says, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. Talking with preacher about, was there a temple in heaven? Somebody told me there's no temple in heaven. There's a veil. And somebody entered into within the veil. And that someone was Jesus Christ that entered into that within the veil. And He is the anchor. He is that great hope that we have. That great surety that we have. Because nothing in this world is certain. But this is certain. He is our great hope. He is our anchor. And that anchor, they would take the ship, they would cast out the anchor to keep the ship from running into the rocks and the shore. He is our anchor. So many people today are drifting along in life. They have no anchor. They have no hope. But Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our anchor. He is a great anchor. We have a great hope. We have great access. We also have a great future. Turn, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. With our great salvation comes a great future. Verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. God called Abraham to leave where he was at, to leave his two-car garage and his two-story house and his good job and his friends and everything he had. His pontoon boat there. Everything he had, preacher. He just had to leave it. And he says, where am I going, Lord? He said, I'm not going to tell you where you're going. You just have to go out. And he comes in to Miss Abraham there, Miss Sarah. And he says, Sarah, God's called us to go, to leave all that we have here, and to go out into a place that He's going to show us. He says, well, where are we going? He says, I don't know. He said, what's there? He says, I don't know. You know, most wise would say, well, that's not a very good decision. That's not a very good choice. I love in verse number 11, it talks about her faith. It said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. You know, I couldn't do anything in the ministry if my wife didn't go with me. When I came back and God had spoken to my heart about going to Brazil, I did not worry if my wife would go with me, because I knew my wife was just as surrendered to God as I was. That's why I married her. And I said, honey, God's called us to Brazil. She said, great, when do we leave? When Abraham came into Sarah and he said, Sarah, he said, honey, God's called us to go out into a place where we'd have to receive. She said, honey, if that's what God told you to do, then I'm ready to go. We enjoy coming back to America. We enjoy the things of America. We like the different things we can get here that we can't get there. Double stuffed Oreo cookies. Can we get those in Brazil? I don't know. I don't eat double stuffed Oreo cookies. I like chocolate chip cookies. So whoever puts food in there next time we come, if you could put some Chips Ahoy Chewy cookies in there, that would be wonderful. Don't have any grits in Brazil. They wouldn't even know what grits were, as far as I know. But we come back to America, they have things here that we don't have things down there. They have Krispy Kreme donuts. They don't have that in Brazil. I think when I come back next time, preacher, I'm going to work for Krispy Kreme so I can learn how to make their donuts and take them to Brazil and say, "Let taste this." There's one of the Brazilians who came here. He's like, "Oh, Krispy Kreme. Oh, it's so good." Things we have here in America, even the roads. The roads here, I mean, if you think the roads are bad here in America, just come to Brazil. When we're on the roads in Minas Gerais, the state next to where right now we live in the state of São Paulo, but we're on the roads over there, you're just that much closer to heaven, because around the next curve you could die and literally be going to heaven. It's bad. The roads in America are so much better. Everything we have here is so much better than what we have in Brazil as far as human comforts. But you know, we have a better home than America. We have a heavenly home that's so much better than what we have here. And one day, we are going to leave this home. And we're going to go to that home. And that home is going to be made so much better. You look at the men in the Bible and the women in the Bible. You look at Moses. God told him to go back to Egypt. Now that's where the Pharaoh was. Now the Pharaoh that was there, he could go and he could have Moses killed. But Moses went back because that's what God told him to do. He was willing to give his life to go back and save his people. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." When Mordecai came to Esther and said, "Esther, you better go in." She said, "Oh, if I go in, I could die. If he doesn't stretch out that scepter, I could die." He says, "Who knows if you come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" And he said, "By the way, if you don't go in there, you don't think you're going to make it just because you're in the castle." What Esther say? "If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish." Because at that moment, she realized there was more important things than her life. See, I'm going to heaven. If you're saved, you're going to heaven. You have a great future. A great future. I like to tell this, Rebecca, they asked such great questions. Rebecca got some rollerblades, some roller skates, you know, roll around there. She said, "Daddy, the streets in heaven are made of gold, right?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Are they slippery? Because gold's kind of slick." I said, "Well, I don't know. I don't know. I have to ask the preacher after the service. I don't know if they're slick." I thought, that's a great question. Wouldn't it be fun if they were? We could just slip around heaven. Kids could have all kinds of fun. But the streets of gold in heaven, it'll be wonderful up there. You look at David. David went out to fight Goliath. You don't find one time in there where David was thinking about, "I might die." But you know what? David knew where he was going if he did die. David went out to fight Goliath. And he went out there, "I come unto you in the name of the Lord my God." And really, I don't look at those men. I don't know that Saul, I mean, what did Saul think? Did Saul think David was going to win? I don't think so. I don't think anybody there but David believed David was going to win. But even if David didn't win, he would have gone to heaven. And he would not have gone to heaven a coward. He would have gone to heaven fighting. You look at the three Hebrew boys as they went into the fiery furnace. And they looked at Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, we be not slow to answer you. He says, "Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not," so we're not going to bow down. Now they knew it meant death for them. I mean, I don't think they had any idea what God was going to do for them there. But you look at the great men of the Bible, when it came time to put their lives on the line and say, "Am I willing to give my life?" They were willing to do that because there was something more important than their life. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." We have a great salvation. A wonderful salvation. Songwriter said, "Tell me the story again." I love to hear the story. I love to tell the story of what Jesus Christ did for me. And that's a wonderful thought tonight. But we're reminded that so many tonight do not have that great salvation because no one has ever told them. No one's ever told them. What does God want you to do tonight so that those who have never heard might hear of that great salvation? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word tonight. We thank You for the great salvation.